Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
It's the White Riot Show coming to you live on a rainy Friday night in Brooklyn. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M, you know, I was about to say that this is a live show, and it is when we record it, of course. We don't, you know, we talk right through, but it'd be kind of stupid for me to say it's live if people listening to it are doing it podcast form, which means it's never live.
Yes, but the genius of radio is that yes. You can just say live, and what do people know?
And what do people know, right? Exactly. They don't care. They don't know. But anyway, so we're here to talk about the interesting subjects of the week. However, before we get to that, it is your favorite time of the show.
Could it be the pimping?
It is indeed. It is time to huggy bear this shit. So let's say that to listen to the White Riot Show, our formal base of operations, whiteriotshow.com. Also, you can go to iTunes, search for the White Riot Show. Go to podcast.fm, go to stitcher.com. You could find us there also under White Riot Show. You could also go to facebook.com/White Riot Show for the latest postings, comments, see what people have to say. And of course, the epicenter of our trolling of various ne'er-do-wells, twitter.com/White Riot Show. And you could follow us there, always picking up steam and followers on the Twitter.
Twitter, and you mentioned YouTube.
No, I didn't, and thank you for assisting in the bitch slapping of the pimping hour.
Thank you.
YouTube.com/White Riot Show, where you can find both the full episodes, and it is the exclusive home of the riotous clips, those wonderful little 3-4 minute highlights, the best bits of the full show. So if you don't have the time to listen to the full hour of the White Riot Show, just go catch a riotous clip or two. We think you'd like that. So, Judo Larium, is that sufficient pipping?
That's, let's see, what did you miss?
I don't think I missed anything this time out.
Twitter, you got your finger, you got the thing.
Got everything going.
Vine, you got everything.
Yeah, we haven't been paying attention to our Vine account, let's be honest. We haven't recorded anything new. We're falling a little bit behind on that, but we'll see what we can do about that in the upcoming days. All right, White Riot Show. Let's talk about what's happening. It's a bit, little bit of a slow news week there, Judo Larium, but yes. Still at the top of the news, the George Zimmerman trial.
Yes, absolutely.
Seems to be winding down a little bit. But what's interesting here is a couple of weird, not weird, but interesting rulings coming down. Very clearly, Judo Larium, as you know, I've been following it. And in my opinion, it really looks like the prosecution is not well prepared. They don't have a strong case. They really haven't been able to deflate or put aside the contention of the defense that it was a self-defense killing. Really no evidence to the contrary of that. There's a lot of emotionally charged issues going on here. It's not just the facts of the case. We've mentioned this. It's more that, you know, there was a tragedy of a black teenager being killed, and despite the media's best efforts to paint this as a racial crime,
it's not.
We've heard from just about everyone involved with the trial saying it was in no way racial.
No.
And also the fact that Zimmerman is not a white man. He's a Hispanic person, self-described. So it's not even that sort of contention here. And it really seems to be really manufactured by the media. You know, the victim's family doesn't think it was racial. The police have testified that they didn't think there was a racial element to this. So, but what's interesting to me now is that a lot of people who have been following the case are saying it doesn't look like Zimmerman will get convicted. You never know with a jury, because the jury can just, they can just decide they want to do what they want to do despite the law. But what's interesting to me is that Florida is preparing for riots. There was an article in the news today that, you know, they're preparing for the worst in the event, or perhaps the likely event, that Zimmerman is acquitted.
That's right. I heard that Yeah, they're already making preparations in case there are riots and problems, because if he's found not guilty or something, or if he gets just a walk, you know, there's going to be the usual rabble-rousing and destruction.
Like, I think it's going to be more than the usual. I think in this particular case, like, if you've been following the social media about
I don't think it'll be just in Florida.
Florida will be the epicenter. There's no doubt. Yeah. You know, was Broward County, they're preparing for the worst. But what's interesting to me is this sense of vigilante justice that, you know, look, when O.J. was ruled innocent, it's not like white people took to the streets. Do you know what I mean?
They never do.
Yeah, exactly. When Rodney King was in the Rodney King trial, when the officers were exonerated, we had riots. And that might be the last major riot that occurred.
It'll be interesting.
As a result of a trial.
Yeah, but I got to tell you something. Let me cut you off there. It'll be interesting to see how the president reacts to that.
Really, you think so?
Well, look, he's black.
I mean, I'll give him.
You're gonna have a lot of people who are black. Look, on the other hand, I'm not accepting at this time that Zimmerman's definitely going to be found not guilty. He is being the jury has six women on.
It's nine. All of them are women.
Yeah, they're all women.
I think three African-American and six non-African-American.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Did I say six?
Yeah.
And I thought it was six, but but they're all women, and, yes. You know, they may see
the mother's
Zimmerman.
Point of view.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, you know, there's the I'm a mom, this could be my kid kind of shit. I mean, you never know. Of course, I mean, the case started out with that... Rachel Gentile, operator.
Yeah, yeah.
She was an idiot.
Yeah.
So it already got off to that start.
Right.
Plus, of course, you have that. I have a different point of view than everybody else.
Right.
You know, we've become very accustomed in the past couple of decades of court cases being broadcasted.
Right.
And I'm against this.
Oh, okay.
I really am, because I think it makes it more like a circus and less like a serious matter. You know, like I don't think you should have access. I don't think you should be able to watch it on TV. I really don't. Even you brought up like the OJ thing.
Yeah.
I remember one of the prosecutors was Marcia Clark.
Yeah,
and she was no offense, but she was like this hideous looking thing.
Yeah,
and then like a couple of days into the trial, somebody obviously said something to her.
Yeah,
and she came in on a Monday looking like $1 million.
Yeah,
she had gotten like a perm
right.
or like some other stupid thing, and she looked more like somebody who was trying to be in a movie.
Right, right.
So like I'm not crazy about the way that we do these things. Like, you know, I know some people who don't like sketch artists.
I'm for transparency, though. I have no problem that unless there's a national security issue or something like that, that the trial should be public. I think the people do deserve to know what goes on in the court system, and they need to see this process play out on both sides of the fence, you know, not just for the prosecution or the defense. I think it's good for Americans to be aware of what's happening in their court system. So I'm not necessarily...
Really?
I'm not with you on that necessarily. What I am...
Why do you need to see what's going on in our court system?
No, I think that it's part of our civic responsibilities. I think we should all be aware of how the courts operate. And because
people want to do their civic responsibility, they should stop trying to get out of jury duty.
Well, that too.
Everybody does that, and that's terrible. This is one of the most important things you do.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but you're right. A lot of people
A lot of people really do.
But I think part of it is that, you know, maybe one of the reasons is because people feel that justice isn't always served, and you always hear about the technicalities that murderers get off on or whatever. But I think, to me, I don't have a problem with it being televised as much as I have a problem with the way the media is clearly manipulating public opinion. So, for example, there is this perception that if Zimmerman is found innocent, it's a miscarriage of justice. And the media has perpetuated a lot of these myths, and we've gone over them. But we could talk about him again. The fact that they keep referring to Zimmerman as a white Hispanic. They don't refer to anybody else like that. They wanted to get the white-black angle in there, so they keep mentioning that. There's these misconceptions about Zimmerman, that he is a quasi-racist, that he's a profiler, that he's a wannabe cop. You know, these are speculations.
Well, the wannabe cop is not a speculation. He's taken the police exam like a couple of times and failed.
But it wasn't made in that sense. It was made, you know, that statement has been put forth by the media not as a statement of fact, but as a psychological thing. Like, oh, he's a wannabe cop and he's frustrated.
Yeah,
you know,
show what a loser.
Right,
yeah,
and that's not the case. But anyway, and then, you know, the portrayal of Trayvon as this young, innocent honor student, which when there was a reporter for the Miami Herald, I think, who dug into it and found out that it was total bullshit.
Right.
At the time of his death, he had a 0.5 grade point average. A lot of news outlets reported that he was a scholarship winner. He was a junior. He had no scholarship over the offer. He was a horrible student.
And they keep
student.
Showing the same picture of him when he was like 10
right,
years
clean
old.
Clean cut, right.
And with this stupid smile. And if you see him now, he's got tats and like a scowl.
Right,
and,
right. They keep, you know, the media jumps on the fact that the defense lawyer's daughters, you know, had ice cream with her father and said, we're kicking their ass or something like that on Twitter, you know, which I agree is stupid, but it's an innocent thing of a girl talking about her father doing a good job. You know what I mean? It is one of those cases that the media wants an outcome. And what happens is low education, lowly informed viewers now have these perceptions that are simply false. So when you talk about preparing for a riot, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the media has presented false facts about the case. For example, the media initially said that the whole case was about the Stand Your Ground law in Florida.
Right.
Which it's not. Stand Your Ground has no bearing on this case. It's all based on self-defense.
Right. Yeah, but Stand Your Ground was really intended for people who
in their home,
attacked by like a mugger
in their
or in their
right.
home. And if you use lethal force or you fight back,
well, you're not required to run away.
Right.
Like New York, your first requirement, believe it or not, if you get like, what is it, a home invasion in New York, your first response, according to the law, is to try to run away.
Right.
Or to try to give in. If you shoot somebody,
they don't want you fighting
back. Right. If they don't want you fighting back and they don't want you shooting, even if you're a legal gun owner. Right. So, which to me is ridiculous, you know. But anyway, that aside. So, but anyway, that law, the Stand Your Ground law, is not being invoked here. And yet the media initially, and in some cases still, keeps bringing that up. Because they want to take the focus away from a self-defense case.
Right.
Right? But anyway, so...
But they don't want him getting away with this.
They don't want him getting away with this. Yeah. But in doing so, in my opinion, they're fanning the potential for riots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the people who
they're
are rioting...
Up ugliness,
right. The people who want to riot... And if you go to Twitter and Facebook right now, there's a lot of people calling for riots. A lot of, let's be honest, a lot of black people calling for riots, saying that if he gets off, justice for Trayvon. You know, you see people saying, I'm going to kill me a white person. I'm going to kill me a white boy. And this is going on. And a lot of it is just people blowing off steam. I understand that. I'm not going to say that everything there is credible or whatever.
There's a few knuckleheads.
But there's a few people willing to do it. And a lot of it, in my opinion, is fueled by the fact that the media has painted this kid to be this innocent angel who was shot dead by a race-hating wannabe cop.
Right. Well, look, they've been on top of this from the very beginning, and you can already see that Mr. Zimmerman was already, if not suspicious to them.
Yeah.
You know, they're listening to the audio, and, you know, and the police person on the phone, or the operator did tell them, like, to back off and that they'd handle it.
Right.
And they've been on that.
You know the reason for that, right? They explained why. The police explained why they say that.
Tell the audience why, John.
For legal reasons. Because if they told him, follow him, and Zimmerman got shot,
and if he gets hurt,
then the family sues the police.
Right.
So they're, and the 911 operator, and again, that's a perfect example of what the media does. The media plays up the fact that the 911 operator told them that we don't want, you don't have to do that. You don't have to follow him. And somehow, it's been portrayed in the media that was a direct order from the cops that he violated.
No, it's
not true. It was standard operating procedure that you tell them not to follow it, not for Trayvon's safety, for the safety of Zimmerman, so that he wouldn't then be, so the cops wouldn't be liable. That's yet another example of how the media takes a fact and manufactured it the way they want to see it. And by the way, it sounds like I'm advocating for that Zimmerman is innocent or that he did nothing wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no evidence to convict him.
Yeah, no, it's
because
not.
There were two witnesses to this event, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. One of those guys is unfortunately dead, so we can't get his side of the story.
And the other guy's not testifying.
And the other guy is not testifying against himself. And the evidence, there's no evidence to contradict his story of self-defense.
Right.
Zero evidence.
Yeah.
So that's why I think he's going to get off. Oh, and I'm sorry, the interesting part was they interviewed the police chief who resigned as a result of the arrest of Zimmerman. And he testified that there was not enough evidence to initially arrest him. and that he only was arrested as the result of political pressure.
Succumbing to pressure, yeah.
Right, that he testified, and he named the person, it was a black politician, I don't recall the gentleman's name right now, that really he is testifying, the former police chief, that he was asked to do it. So it's interesting to me, but do you think there's going to be riots down there?
No.
You think, like, let's assume for the moment that Zimmerman is acquitted on all charges and he walks.
I think there'll be some, you'll hear about some problems or protests or some store window gets broken. But I actually don't think it's
really
going to be
okay. Long. I mean, no, I hope you're right, but I don't know if that's the case or not.
I don't think so. I'm just not feeling that right now. I mean, it could be. I mean, what do I know about what's going on in Florida? But I'm not seeing that. But like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how Obama handles this.
It's interesting to me.
You have to bring that up. You know why? Because when that stupid college professor, friend of his,
the guy with
got
the,
arrested up in Massachusetts
or whatever.
Beer
with the
and
cop,
he had the beer with the cop, and he gets involved in these stupid racial
things. Yeah, but to be honest with you, he hasn't said anything to date.
No, he hasn't. And clearly, they've told him his people like stay out of it.
I don't think he'll say
riot,
anything.
If there's a riot, he's going to have to do something.
If there's a riot, I think he's almost forced to say something. But I think he learned his lesson. I think he's not going to get involved. I think he's not going to get involved unless he absolutely, positively has to for civic unrest purposes.
But
you
that's what we're talking about. Yeah, I'm saying if there's riots, he's going to have to do something.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see his reaction.
Right.
I don't mean what's his reaction if Zimmerman's found not guilty and they let him go. And let's say there are no riots and no problem. I'm not saying let's see what his reaction is. Then he won't say anything and he'll just go about his business. But since I think... entertaining the possibility that there could be riots, then it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it.
Right. No, that's a good point. Let's see what happens there. But all right.
I agree with your. I do agree with your assessment about the media and what shitheads they are. About how they're manipulating this and they want certain outcomes. I mean, they're just throwing bullshit.
Right. Because that's how they sell newspapers. That's how they get TV ratings. You know, I really don't think this case.
It's not.
I think objectively speaking,
I don't think it's as juicy as
objectively speaking, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Trayvon somehow deserved to be shot. No. And honestly, if a creepy guy was following me around the neighborhood and I wasn't a criminal, I might be inclined to turn around and punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, say, like, what the fuck are you
doing? What the fuck are you doing following me? I'm not saying that isn't what... that I might not have done the same thing that Trayvon allegedly did, according to Zimmerman. I'm not even saying that.
No. But I agree with your point.
But
I think
Look, people feel that there was a tragedy and that someone has to pay for it. I think that's the bottom line. I think people look at a 17-year-old and they're like, it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for it?
Right.
Somebody. So we'll see what happens. But anyway.
But again, I will say, I do agree with you. The media is just...
Okay.
It's just slinging bullshit. And,
right.
And speaking of bullshit at people, we have the running of the bulls in Spain.
Oh, your favorite, like, annual sporting event.
Yes. I was trying to segue into it.
What the fuck's the matter with people?
You know, I
know there's a religious angle.
I know that I was about to say everybody knows I'm an agnostic, but I am going to say this: if there is a God, I think God definitely loves crazy people because He makes so fucking many of them. I mean, you get these stupid idiots every year; they get the running of the bulls,
right?
Now, and people, not just Spaniards, people from all over the world you know, and this has been going on for a while, go there so they can run bulls in the street who are scared. Believe it or not, these animals are scared.
Yeah.
And, you know, and every year, to my glee,
yes,
to my joy,
yes,
to my every day is Christmas.
Preach it.
A few knuckleheads got gored.
Yes, sir. By
two Spaniards.
Yes, sir.
And one guy from America.
Praise
the
Lord.
And you know what? I say, can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because these people are assholes.
Testify.
And the funniest part of all, big fatso idiot Rex Ryan from the New York Jets.
Oh, he was there?
Running in the ball. Yeah, they had him on the New York Post.
Oh, really?
And they had his face like with his eyes popping out of his head running from the Bulls, a big pussy.
Big twat burger, fur burger.
Three guys got gored.
Nice.
And I'm happy about
it. Nice. I actually saw the videotape of the one guy. This one guy, he literally got anally raped by the bull.
Nice.
It was the funniest thing, and I know the guy's in the hospital clinging to life.
Send him to my tank doctor.
Believe it or not, when I saw the video, that's exactly what I was saying. This guy needs Dr. Jellyfinger from Larry's asshole.
This is very good surgery. This is very good goring of your ass.
So the funny thing is, the bull gores him, right? As they're running down the streets of Pamplona. The bull's horn somehow gets up the guy's ass.
Oh, not somehow.
It was a gay bull. It was a gay bull happy with the Supreme Court decisions.
Yes.
But so the funny thing is, the bull then takes off the guy's pants.
Nice.
By pulling him down, right? So now the funny thing is that the guy's trying to get up and run away, but he trips over his own pants that the bull very cleverly, I might add, pulled down on.
Unpantsed him and found the asshole. And you want me to believe you said, well, he just happened to hit him in the asshole? No, that's not happening. That's knowing where it is, baby.
And if you watch this, this bull is like determined to fuck this guy up. And by fuck him up, I mean shove his horns up his ass. While he's goring this guy on the ground, to me, also, part of the Keystone Cop routine of this is all the other idiots that are running trying to save this guy from being gored. Except they're all pussies and fags, and they don't know how to get a bull away from anyone. So you see one guy hitting him with, like, a kendo stick. like that's going to stop, like, a one-ton enraged bull.
Yeah, enraged one-ton animal that's having fun. I'm goring this guy in the ass. What's that, a stick? Oh, I'm goring this guy in the ass.
And then the other part, if you watch the tape in slow motion, I got to show it to you. There's two guys that just start pulling on the bull's tail.
They're from Spain.
Like a tug of war. Literally, they just grab on, and the bull literally is just flicking its tail, and these guys go flying.
They're from Spain.
While he's goring, while the bull is still goring the dude.
Was their last name Menendez?
So the best part for me would have been like, here's Big Fat John's solution to how you get a guy, how do you get an enraged bull off of somebody that's being gored?
You don't go
to Pamplona to begin with.
Yeah, don't go to Pampers.
Don't fucking enrage these big brutish beasts that are only doing what they're supposed to do according to nature.
Run and attack things with their horns.
Like, what are these?
And occasionally eating shit.
That's why in this particular case, I am 100%. You know how Big Fat John was against the dogs in the Michael Vick case?
Against the dogs.
I was pro Michael Vick. I don't give a fuck about those dogs. You know, honestly, I really don't care. But in this particular case.
That's because he was doing what he's supposed to do in nature.
Michael Vick's a fucking asshole. He was just acting out his nature. But in Pamplona, you take these poor bulls, you cage them up, then you turn them loose into what? Tens of thousands of screaming idiots wearing red belts and
yelling in Spanish,
basically making themselves targets, challenging these poor fucking bulls. And guess what? They got exactly what they deserved. That's these right. assholes. That's Three right. people got gored.
And they all wear white shirts. Did you notice?
Yeah,
that?
That's to they attract the bull.
Yes,
the white with the red. With the red sashes.
Yeah, but they wear I would just wear all red. Come get me, puto boo.
Oh, and then also
puto budo.
Also in this video, you have to see it. When the guy's getting gored, aside from the two guys pulling on the tail, the one guy hitting it with a kendo stick, there was one woman who ran up.
A woman?
Yeah, it hit the bull with a handkerchief. Like she slapped at it. Wait, like, go away.
You sure that wasn't a gay guy?
Get away, you bitch.
You big nasty bull. Get your horn out of that guy there.
I want me some of that.
I'm telling you, that guy, I mean, look, I don't want him to die. No. But the other two guys who got burned, you deserve it.
It was two Spaniards and an American. Stupid. Two Spaniards and an American.
I said that, yeah. I went to a bullfight one time in Mexico. Yeah. And I was rooting. No, it was horrible. I was rooting for the bull the whole way because you know it's going to lose eventually. And this guy is 4'11". He's wearing the stupid Mouseketeer hat. And he's stabbing this thing. I'm like, you pussy. I said to my friends, he should be wearing a mask. And they said, why? I said, well, all the Lucha Libre guys wear a mask. You know why they do that in Mexico?
So they don't get
stabbed. Because they don't get killed. Because the audience takes it so seriously.
Right.
They can't even walk down the streets.
You're right.
So everybody has to wear a mask.
Absolutely.
So I think the Matador should wear a mask.
I think they should wear a mask.
In fact,
they're assholes.
You and I are going to go to this next year.
Okay. So after the Creationist Museum.
After the Creation Museum.
Right.
You and I are going to go to the Running and Bolt. And right on this, my bureau that I keep at home.
Right.
I have my Meal Mascotus mask. I'm going to wear my Meal Mascotus in all red. And I'm just going to taunt this bull. There.
And I'll be right there with you, buddy, about five floors up looking down at
John
you.
Will be. This will be like the old Mutual of Omaha. You know, that guy like, well Bill wrestles the elevator.
Just to show you how old I am. Just to show you how old I am.
Yes.
Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins.
There you go.
Wow.
How's that?
Yeah, Marlon Perkins. Well, Jim wrestles the alligator. I fly above in the helicopter and take pictures.
While Larry is being chased by the bull holding on to his nuts and asshole so they don't get violated.
While he's taunting the bull with his taint.
Big Fat John is standing up on the fifth floor balcony having a cerveza and having like a young lovely Spanish girl tickle his nutsack with her tongue.
A young señorita come and lick the taint of the bird. Which one has actually more comedic potential?
The
Creation Museum or the Running with the Bulls?
Oh, that's close, but I think it's got to be the Creation Museum because you have Southern people involved in that.
Because it has something to do with God.
Look at the ingredients. You've got God, dinosaurs with saddles.
Stegosaurus
with saddles. And Southern rubes. What could possibly not be funny about that?
Yeah, that's actually the hat trick.
Like in Spain, all you got is like assholes getting gored by bulls.
Yeah, just the illegal aliens funny. running for their lives.
Oh my goodness.
That is the stupidest event in the world. But
we do
have to. The Descendants actually outdid them this week at a soccer game.
Oh yes, let's talk about that. It's International Sports Week on the White Riot Show.
Oh my God!
To anyone out there who has ever debated Big Fat John and Judo Larry M about the worthlessness of soccer as a sport and as a point of nationalist pride,
and I've pointed this out my entire life.
Absolutely.
And here's just another example. Go ahead.
In Brazil last week, there was a game where a referee issued a player a red card. Now, Judo Lariam, I know you're not a big soccer fan, and for those real Americans that also don't know shit about soccer, I'll tell you what a red card is.
It's not a green card.
No. Very good. No, the red card means that you committed a foul and you're tossed out of the game.
Nice.
So it's getting ejected, but the severity of the red card is that you also miss out the following game. So it's almost like getting suspended for a game. So you're out of the game. Oh, and when you're out of the game, the team doesn't get to replace you. So you're playing a man down. It's like being on a perpetual power play for the game. So they give this player a red card. The player starts yelling at the referee and shoving him. The referee pulls out a knife and stabs the guy right on the field.
Yay.
Like really just stabbed him in the neck or the heart or some shit. The guy died on the field. He didn't even make it to the hospital.
Did he see the picture of the stegosaurus? With the Did that inflame his fascists?
Now, if that isn't bad enough, that you have a referee. Now, I have two questions. Like,
why has he got a knife on him?
Why does the referee carry a knife on him? That's the first one. And the second one, what the fuck could he have possibly said to you that you felt the need to stab him in front of 80,000 people?
I can tell you. I can tell you. He said, let me tell you, motherfucker, you don't have the nerve to stab me.
Do you think you are a big man with your knife?
With your pussy red card? I bet you can't run the balls to stab me.
Anyway, so he stabs this poor bastard. Now the referee stabs him and he realizes, holy shit, I just stabbed somebody in front of a stadium full of people. And by the way, he stabbed somebody from the home team. So this guy did everything wrong.
They don't live by the rule of law down there. He's not going to get in any trouble.
If it's not enough that he just committed murder in front of 80,000 witnesses, he committed for murder in front of 80,000 witnesses who happened to be rooting for the guy he stabbed. So, predictably.
And he stabbed him over absolutely nothing because it's a soccer game.
It's a soccer game, exactly. It's not like he stabbed him even over some trim.
No,
you know, it's
like, what do you mean you raped my daughter?
Exactly. The crowd storms the field, grabs the referee, and listen to this. I'm not making this up. According to Fox News, they stoned him to death.
A la Monty Python.
A la Monty Python, the Bible, and anything else you could think of. They fucking stoned him to death.
The Quran.
Then they chopped off all his limbs. Basically, they drew and quartered him.
Wow, that's also Monty Python.
And then they put his head on a stick and planted it in the middle of the field. I mean, we're talking about something that I've read about like in Braveheart or some shit. You know, drawn, quartered, stoned to death. And if he still hasn't learned his lesson, they will really get rough on him. You
and
know,
then
it's like,
we'll send his head to Detroit.
But can you believe that?
That's demented.
I mean, it's almost like you think I'm making it up. When I first heard this story, I have to go check it out.
No, it's absolutely
and
true.
And sure enough, holy shit.
I mean, that's funny. He was for the home team. But he's... but you know what?
If it was the visiting team, maybe you could get away.
I can tell you why.
I can tell you why.
Because the referee has people skills.
What a horrible, horrible situation. Although
players are not good at dealing with the fans. The referee is
very good. Office Space reference. I got it.
There you go.
But I have to tell you something, though. I will say one thing, and this comment on Twitter got me so much hate mail. I said, listen, if I knew from the start that stabbings, beheadings, stonings, and like putting heads on pikes was part of every soccer game, I could probably, you could get me to watch that shitty sport for once. Wouldn't you?
No, but you know what's going to be funny now?
What's that?
I as little as I know about it, but I do know that they're hosting the World Cup next year.
Okay.
So how are they going to, the first problem Brazil has, that because I saw this on a documentary on HBO. First off, they've got this huge crime problem.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's insane. They have these little communities. I forget what the name of it. They have a name for them.
Yeah.
But like every little town is like a Coochie Frida or some stupid thing. But each one is run by like drug gangs.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they're violent as hell. Yeah. And like the people on the documentary, so you see people like just shooting machine guns at each other.
Right.
Now, you're going to take the people from around the world.
Right.
You got to send them to a place in San Paulo, wherever, right. where that's not particularly safe.
Right.
You have the fact that every asshole who's not an American takes this really seriously.
Right.
And he's going to be like painting their face
right.
and wearing
right.
their national, you know, their flip.
Has like a Superman, their colors. Yeah.
Superman cape.
Right.
And like every call, like for instance, like here's an interesting thing. If you were a soccer ref,
right.
why would you want, back up.
Yeah.
Why would you want to be a soccer
right.
ref?
Right.
Why would you do this for a living? I mean, unless they're paying you like seven digits, why in God's name?
I'll tell you why.
Wait,
it's well known that soccer...
I'll tell you why.
It's well known that soccer is one of the most corrupt sports on the planet.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
as corrupt as you think boxing and pro wrestling is...
Wrestling's not corrupt. You take that back. You take that back. I won't let the show continue.
Just boxing.
And go.
Soccer is even worse. I mean, referees routinely get bribed. They make more money than politicians because they're constantly getting bribed. The sport itself, the rules lend itself to very subjective refereeing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not
if they lose time during the game, during substitutions, we're going to add like 10 minutes onto the end.
That
could affect the outcome. Suppose the score is 1-1. Your team's down. And the extra time,
right?
somebody scores.
Because I've always said this. I said, every other major sport that has a clock involved has figured out how to put it in public view so that the referee doesn't cheat anybody out of anything.
Except baseball.
Anything that uses a clock, like I said. Anything right. that uses a clock. Football, hockey, basketball, whatever. Soccer, for some reason, still requires that the only person who has the time is the referee with a stupid watch on his wrist.
Right.
How many times have you caught the end of these stupid soccer games when you're on the news where they say, we're in extra time now. We think it might be 7 extra minutes. It might be as many as 12. We'll wait for the referee to see.
Right.
That yeah. How open is that to
corruption?
Corruption. The second thing.
Plus, it's stupid.
You know in hockey how you have a blue line? Obviously, you're a hockey fan. You have a blue line, right?
Right.
Offsides is very simply defined.
Yeah.
If you cross the blue line before the puck, it's offside.
You're offside.
Yeah. Do you know what soccer does for offside?
And you have a linesman on each one
right.
that stands there like a hawk,
right.
a hawkeye, and
right.
watches it.
Okay.
In soccer.
You know what the offside rule is in soccer? I'll tell you. You know what it is?
It doesn't exist, right?
It exists in the referee's mind. So there's a linesman who runs up and down the sideline.
Right.
At any point on your side of the field, so if you're playing defense on your side of the field, here's the rule as I understand it. At any point, if the defense just stops running, the offside line is the last defensive player parallel to the outline. So if you want, if you put everybody at midfield, one step behind midfield, the offsides line is basically midfield.
Midfield, where the last defense.
And the only way the guy can pass the not be offsides on offense is if you dribble the ball past it. So right now, do you know how many controversies they've been where a goal goes in miraculously and then you'll just see the linesman go, oh, that was offside.
No.
And then you just slow it down and you'll see like that it was nowhere near offsides or anything like that.
Which is terrible for the players because they're too busy taking their shirts off and running away from their teammates.
That's the other thing.
That's the other thing. It's so stupid. They literally run away. You see their teammates like chasing them because they want to celebrate.
Right.
And you see this guy like throwing off his shirt and he's like running.
Doing the stupid celebration. And then the other thing I love is all the soccer flops. There was something on YouTube which was absolutely brilliant. Somebody put together all the people who obviously flopped, meaning they were running, they noticed that the referee wasn't watching them, and they would just fall to the ground, grab their knee, and point at someone.
Oh, please.
And it was worse than basketball. It's just you're expected diving. To lie.
Yeah.
Like pure diving.
Diving.
It's horrible. And you
and
look
it's
at
a sport where it's celebrated.
Yes.
You know, in hockey, if you dive, first off, you get a penalty.
Right.
They announce it as unsportsmanlike conduct.
Right.
Now, and this is, I'm not just saying this because I'm a fan. This is absolutely true. If you do that, your teammates will come up to you in the locker room and tell you what a cunt you are.
Right, right.
They will. Right. It's really disapproved of.
Right. I mean, we're not talking about being smart that if, like, you know, in football, if someone runs into the kicker flops because he wants to sell it.
Yeah, he wants to
sell it. But at least he waits for someone to hit him or run into him, and he over-exaggerates.
Right. Right.
Same thing in basketball. You know, you take a charge, you fall down or whatever. Soccer, I'm telling you, there could be 3 yards between the closest defender and you, and you'll just run, fall down, and point. So anyway, that's why. And what's interesting to me is after I made those comments, there were people who actually called me a Neanderthal. And someone who doesn't appreciate sport, because soccer is the number one spectator sport in the world.
Let me tell you something. Soccer could be the number one spectator sport on a couple of worlds. It still licks my balls.
Well, yeah, it's horrible. Horrible sport. It is so fucking bad. Listen, the sport is rife with corruption. It is unmanageable from an ethical point of view.
It's boring.
Soccer is the only goddamn sport on the planet where people will celebrate failure.
Yeah.
They'll say, like the Brits are known for this. You talk to any British guy in a pub, and eventually he'll say something like, oh, I remember Beckham made this beautiful run up the left flank, evading several defenders and barely missing a goal. You're like, what the fuck? You mean it doesn't end up with him scoring at least?
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't it end up with him getting blown by Posh Spice at the end of it? Tell me why you remember this so vividly.
The reason he missed the goal is because he's married to one of the Spice Girls. Those filthy whores.
Like in American football, what are some of the great plays you remember? The immaculate reception. The ball bounces around. Franco picks it up. Scoots it. They win the playoff game.
Or Montana through to the back of the end zone.
To Dwight Clark, the catch. Or the fumble by Joe Pisarcik, you know, like even our failures have to be something spectacular, you know.
Yeah. Or it even has, just Eli throwing the burst.
Right. It has nothing to do with that sort of, you know, nonsense. It's amazing
to me. It doesn't have to end up in a goal for them. If the play.
Or a great save or anything.
Yeah, if the play was big. Or if they like the way it like, developed, that's enough for them. Like
because there's nothing else going on in that fucking sport.
Soccer is the socialism of sports.
It really is horrible.
It's stupid.
That's actually beautiful because one of the main selling points of soccer that you always hear people say is it really is for poor countries. All you need is a ball. Really, at the end of the day, all you need is a ball.
And corruption.
And corruption.
And a willingness to kill officials.
But guess what? You get what you pay for. If all you need is a ball and nothing else, you're getting the most fucking boring game on the sport. I'd rather watch rugby. I'd rather watch fucking competitive chess than watch a fucking soccer game.
I have to
tell
you, remember last year when we first started the show, I was in Australia, New Zealand on assignment?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I would rather watch cricket.
Oh, really?
And cricket's boring as shit. I mean, it's,
any sport that lasts 5 days for a game is horrible.
I mean, everybody looks like the man from GLAAD. And, and it looks like a combination of like baseball and...
And my goodness.
Bleep that out. But it's just stupid. And I mean, it wasn't horrible, but... It's soccer. It's just like, what is that?
It's horrible. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I don't even understand why people enjoy that game. But anyway, so that's what's going on with that, Judo Larry. If you ever want to see a dismemberment and a head on a pike, head down to Brazil or any other soccer-worshipping shithole and you'll get to see
anywhere in the third world.
Basically.
The last time I heard about somebody like actually getting like heads cut off like that as part of like some kind of aggression, I was reading a story about like some kind of political like revolution or something in Sri Lanka.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have the people there, the Tals, the Talmuds or whatever, the Tals, I think they're called. And they like cut the heads off like six people.
Really?
And they like walk through the streets holding their heads up to show like how tough they were. That's like the last time.
Nice.
Like somebody had it like on a stick or he made like a bag out of it or like. But that's like the last time I heard about that. But
the last time I saw something like that was in Apocalypto, I think. when they just chopped the heads off all those guys and rolled them down those big Mayan temples or whatever, and just had people catching heads in a basket.
I know when I heard it before, it was in another soccer game.
Soccer blows, let's face it.
Stupid.
All right, Judalarium, let's move away from international sport right now. Let's talk about something that's happening at home. And you know, it is yet another example of the government killing business by interfering with the free market. In Washington, D.C., Walmart decided that they were going to break ground on a new store. Walmart. Some people love Walmart, some hate it, right? But the truth of the matter is you're going into an area that has a high unemployment rate, and Walmart would provide several jobs. Not just the jobs involved with the store, but also the construction jobs of people, you know, to build the store.
It's a couple of thousand.
Right, exactly.
When you figure everything in.
Right. In the middle of this process, the legislators in Washington decided that they wanted to pass a law called the Living Wage Law. And what is the Living Wage Law, you may ask?
Some horrible thing that only unions would support.
Exactly. The Living Wage Law basically states that anybody in Washington would have to pay 50% above. Large corporations would be required to pay 50% above minimum wage. So the new minimum wage, instead of being $9, would be something like, you know, $12.50 or $13. Now, put aside whether or not you think that's a decent wage for someone. Put aside whether or not you think a family of four can live on minimum wage or not. Because that's not the issue, Judalarium. No. The issue is, why are you, as a government, seeking to tell someone how to run their business?
Right, and how much they have to pay.
And how much they have to pay, and what makes economic sense for that company. Why is that?
I have no idea.
Right? Walmart very predictably said, if you pass this law,
we're not coming.
We're not coming. We're not building. We'll just stop whatever we've done, and we'll find somewhere else to go.
Amazing.
They did the same thing in Chicago, I think, a couple of years ago. Chicago tried to do the same nonsense. Walmart said, we're out of here. It took a veto by the governor.
Yeah.
And the fact that the legislature in Illinois couldn't overturn the veto. So then Walmart stayed. So this thing here, I don't understand where a legislature says, you know, I'd rather have no jobs at $12.50 rather than 1,000 jobs at $9.
Right.
Who the fuck? Honestly, to me, it's simple math. What would be the reasoning for this, Judo?
Well, it's appeasement for unions. It's appeasement for certain groups that lobby because they think that the minimum wage is way too low.
Right.
I mean, I have heard Democrat congressmen say that the minimum wage should be raised to $25 an hour.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that one time on one of those stupid political shows I was watching, that it should be somewhere between 20 and 25, and they would support 25. So that way people can live and they can have a better life and they can afford better health care and better education. And they went through like the whole list of why you should get like that kind of money for like cleaning up the bathroom.
Or whatever. But see, that's not even the point. The point is that should be negotiated between employer and employee.
Right.
Whatever the job is.
Because you're not paid what you think you're worth.
Right.
You have to remember that. Even the ERA that they used to push with women. You're not paid what you think you're worth. You're paid a compromise between what your employer thinks you're worth and what you think you're worth. And
you're paid what makes sense economically for both parties. It's as simple as that. Like, you may think you're underpaid for what you do. Guess what? You have the right to find someone who acknowledges that you're worth more. If you can't find someone who thinks you're worth more, guess what? You're probably not worth more.
You're probably not worth more, and it's not the function of the government to step in and say, oh, yeah, sure you are.
Exactly. Exactly. It has to be negotiated. That's why any law that seeks to tell you what wages should be, that seeks to protect unions. I have no problem with unions as long as the state has right-to-work laws. So if you want to form a union, great. But that doesn't mean that you should prevent someone else from being non-union labor.
Yeah, but they never do that.
Well, some states have it.
Right? Well, a lot of states have right to
Illinois, Indiana.
I was a big right to work member.
I still am.
In the 80s. Oh, are they still around? Yeah. But there's like 19 or 20 states or something that have like right to work. But the unions, they spend all their time trying to crush them.
Of course not. But
they put a lot of money into
it. Right, but that explains to you why unions do what they do. Anything that the union supports, you have to look at the ulterior motive. More often than not, it has nothing to do with fairness. It has nothing to do with what's quote-unquote right. What it has to do with is how do we protect our members' jobs?
Right.
Because they pay union dues.
They want all the jobs funneled through them.
Exactly.
And they want to get their piece of the action and get the jobs to their members.
Right.
They're not interested in that because if you have right to work, then you're an individual.
Right.
And you can just step in and take a job. Right. That's why they use language like scabs and things like that.
Right. And then and what's interesting about that is those professions that are better negotiated as a collective bargaining process, there naturally would be unions. We've said it before. Police forces, the Army, the Navy, the armed forces, they come to mind, right? School districts. School districts may want to deal with unions. I don't know. But even in those cases, no one by law should be prevented from applying as an individual. If the employer wants to hire you and you want to work for them outside of a union, go ahead. You know what I mean? It's this compulsion to do what you're told.
Right.
When it doesn't affect anyone else is ridiculous to
me. Yeah.
And the fact that Washington would rather see its unemployment rate stay up an extra point or two rather than allow Walmart to offer hundreds or even thousands of minimum wage positions is a disgrace. And anyone in Washington should be voting those cocksuckers out of office. You know what I mean?
Most of the people, they probably agree with them.
Most of the people probably agree because, once again, most of the people don't understand basic economics. And they don't understand that you have to look at the totality of something, not just what appeals to you.
Right.
So, yeah, if I walked up to anybody and said, would you rather get paid $10 an hour or $20 an hour? Who's going to say $10 an hour? But if I said to you, would you rather have a guaranteed job at $10 or a 50-50 shot at a $20 job? Right?
Mm.
Now people may think about it, but at the end of the day, it becomes a personal choice. Would I rather have the lower paid guaranteed job or take a risk on the higher paying job? That's something for an individual to make.
Right.
Right? So anyway, Washington, D.C., boo, hiss, you boo, suck.
Boo, you whore.
Get out of the free market. Two things we need to get out of, Judo Lariam. We need to get the government out of the free market, and we need to get the U.S. out of the U.N.
The U.S. out of the U.N.?
Yes. Fuck the U.N.
I thought you were going to say the U.S. out of soccer.
That too.
And Poland.
Yeah. Yeah, get us out of the fucking U.N. Yeah, why is the U.N. in New York? Why are we part of that shitty communist organization?
You know what? It was actually one of the only things I liked about Ed Koch. He almost kicked them out in the 80s. Yeah.
Does he have authority over that, or is it the governor, or is that a state function?
It could be the mayor. I remember there was a whole thing with Koch, like I think right at the end of his second term, and he wasn't going to let them stay or renew.
So this would be like the mid-80s.
Yeah. And the only other person who ever gave them a hard time was Giuliani, because when he became mayor, he started citing them for like double parking and like all this stuff. It was fantastic. Yeah. I remember he fell out of favor
with them very quickly. Claiming diplomatic immunity because he kept ticketing them, and of course they wouldn't pay them because the law doesn't apply to them basically. Yeah. But yeah, get us out of the fucking UN. I'm sick and tired of having to deal with these third world bullshit countries imposing their will on us.
You know what? Let it be over in Europe, like The Hague.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they like stuff like that. Yeah. Like, we'll send an ambassador and you can whine on about how bad we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would love to get rid of them. That's prime real estate.
It's prime real estate. Every time there's a UN Security Council thing or just a General Assembly meeting, the traffic is backed up for miles around New York. You can barely get in around.
The president comes to town. Oh. You could get rid of that thing and put it like an arena in there for wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, would that be awesome?
That would be phenomenal.
A pro wrestling Vince McMahon?
Or we could do? We could make an arena.
Tonight, we're having an international cage match.
No, I got an idea. Here's an idea. We're building an arena over there. And like every other week, we'll do things from around the world. Like we'll have our own Running with the Bulls.
Nice.
We'll have like a fishing contest.
Nice.
We'll have monster trucks.
Stupid soccer.
We'll have wrestling. No, we won't have soccer. We'll just make fun of it. We'll just make fun of it. And like anything that people do like around the world, we'll bring it here just to be insulting. Just like, you know, like they have the Eiffel Tower in Vegas. Like, you know,
like. All right. Cool. Let's get rid of the UN while we're at it. Fantastic. I love it. All right, Judo Lariam, what else we got to talk about? Like I said, it was a slow... Oh, hey, you're telling me you're planning a trip next week.
Yes, a little vacation from the security gig. And
Where are you going? Somewhere nice? Vegas?
No, I'm going to Crazy Canada.
Canada?
Canada.
Is there a good pussy in Canada?
Yeah, well, since there are women there, yes. But
yes.
Canada, I have become actually a fan of the Quebec area.
Really?
It is absolutely beautiful. Montreal, I've been there twice. Quebec yeah. City, twice. I've been to Halifax, which is really in Nova Scotia. But it really is lovely. I mean, just great.
You just like it.
The weather there is beautiful right now. And there's this one town I'd like to get to. It's about 50 miles north of Quebec City called Charlevoix.
Huh.
They used to call it the
What's
new,
it called?
Charlevoix.
Oh.
It's Charlevoix.
I didn't the fucking spelling. I'm not heading there.
Okay. I'll send you a picture.
All right.
But they used to call it the Newport of the North. And I was looking at it. I got to tell you, you should look at it online.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like this incredibly quaint little area,
yeah.
And it was built on this area where a meteorite hit it like a million years ago.
Oh.
Of course, if you're at the Creation Museum, you don't believe it was a million years ago, but probably about 3 weeks ago, but it is absolutely beautiful.
Golly.
And there's a lot of nice stuff up there. And also, when I'm in Montreal, I'm going to go to the comedy festival.
Right, that's nice.
There.
Yeah,
I'm going to go see the Alouettes.
The who?
The Alouettes. The Canadian Football League. Come on.
Canadian football?
I got to see that. I got to see
really?
That. I've never seen it.
You're interested in that shit?
Well, 250 yard lines. It's like anything you experience, but it's like the bullfighting in Mexico. You go see these things.
Look, it's an oddity, right?
Is what?
It's an oddity?
It is an oddity.
Day?
Come on. Look, you got the.
What's it a boot?
It's about 250 yard lines. It's about 110. It's about 12 people in motion at the same time. Plus, you know what else is good about the Canadians? They don't kill their refs.
They don't stab their refs.
No, they don't stab their refs, even in hockey. So, so while you're there, you know, look.
Canadian football's all wacky. Like, you get points for punting. And
but this is why I'm curious. I figure, look, while I'm there, I'll go see a game.
They do like 20 laterals on every play. It's like
I heard that you can throw a forward pass to the ref.
Well, they have those wacky Vince McMahon rules, like
it's like XFL,
like a punt that isn't fielded, like is a live ball.
I think that's great, but I think that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Why should you be allowed to let the ball run down right. there? You've got somebody, a punt returner. He should have to get to the ball.
Yeah, you're right.
On the other hand, they should make a rule like you can't kick it so high.
Well, I think the way they do the rule is something like you can't come within 5 yards of the returner until he touches the ball or something like that. Like they give him like a safety zone so he doesn't get massacred, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, like in our league, if you decide not to fair catch the shit,
they can kill you. Yeah. No, but I think there's something to that. I don't think you should be allowed to just let the ball like roll.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Because on a kickoff, you have to field it.
I mean, look, at any other time when
you
put the ball in the air, it's in play.
Right. Exactly.
Why should fourth down kicking?
I happen to agree with you on that rule. I wouldn't mind seeing the NFL because then punting becomes a weapon.
Yes.
It
becomes a factor other than just moving the ball downfield.
Right, right. You could decide whether to safe punt it, try to get it back, squib it almost. Yeah, so you got a lot of shit going on
but
there.
But I've never seen a CFL game like most Americans. I've only heard
right.
of the like I've the Argonauts and the Alouettes. So I figured, look, they're actually going to have a game up there.
Right.
So let me go see them.
When I had business interests in Toronto, I used to go up there, and every so often on Air Canada, they would show you the CFL games, you know, the highlights as you flew back and forth. And I would watch those things. And the one thing that struck me is how small most of those players are. Like, compared to American players, they all seem undersized.
Yeah. The average guy there is like 5'11".
Oh, I don't know what their size is, but they're smaller. Yeah. But what's interesting to me is that because of that, the game is much more predicated on speed.
It's faster.
And trick plays and it's like the old AFL. It's like bombs away. You get dopey scores like 60-54.
That's another thing. I'm dying to see that. I am dying to see. I'm a little tired of defensive battles. I am dying to see like the final score is like 79-78. That's gotta be. It's like arena football.
Yes.
But it's insane.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. No, I'm glad you're going. Let me know how it goes.
I'm doing a part of it. Is
maybe you could interview a couple of Canucks for our show.
Yeah.
You know, just start asking me like, so, since when has Canada been this far north? It's like stupid shit, like Stuttering John questions.
I heard you guys invaded Alaska.
Options? Opinions?
Have you ever heard of a town called Yellowknife?
Common? Seriously, you should do that.
What?
You should do this shit. Like, when you get to the Alouette game, just interview everybody around you.
You know what I'll do? I'll do what Triumph the Insult Comic Dog did. He went to Quebec City like,
funny.
He goes,
fun
and
shit.
He changed the street names to like Shit Street, like Mayor.
That was funny. I saw that episode. That was hilarious.
That was just hilarious.
That was fantastic.
I, you know, the funny thing is most people know me as I never used to like the French very much.
Right.
But I am a person who does like Quebec. It is right. It's really nice.
You like just most like Americans, the town. Yeah,
yeah. No, not just Quebec City.
Right.
The province of Quebec, it's really beautiful. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Right.
And it's very clean.
Right.
It's very safe. It's really nice. I mean, and this, I'll show you later, this little town that they have, this Charlevoix, and it obviously has money. It's not like some little hick town. It's, you know, and it's really nice. And like, I mean, I granted, you're just looking at photos online, but it's really, it looks like a first rate, and it's the kind of thing that most people don't see. So I'm doing some train traveling. Like Halifax has a nice casino.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the Alouettes. I'm going to see Paul McCartney in Quebec City. I know you love the Beatles. And also, Quebec City apparently has a baseball team. I might go see
them. So how long are you going to be out?
A week.
Well, that's a lot to pack into a week.
Well, I like packing.
Nah, fudge packing?
Yes.
Yay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's very nice up there, so I'm looking forward to it. You never go anywhere. Jesus.
No, I fucking don't. I'm where I want to be in life. I don't give a shit.
No, but I mean, even just to relax.
Yeah, I don't. I'm always working. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got your security gig. I'm always working.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, but you have to take some time off.
I'm one of those people that I think I'm literally going to die at my desk one of these days. Or I'm going to die doing something in my office base, my basement office or something. Or I might keel over during one of these white riot shows.
I have to tell you, that's not good.
Yeah, probably not. But it's just the way.
My professional opinion is that's not good.
Yeah, it's just the way, you know.
I mean, I go on vacation. I take trips like 3 times a year, as you know.
You're a world traveler. There's no doubt.
Let me tell you something. I always feel great when I'm doing it.
Well, you also have to understand, you know me, I'm no fan of airlines.
No.
I mean, I get on them. I've gotten over my fear where I wouldn't get on a plane when I was younger.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I only travel when I have to. Like, if it's for business, I'll travel. Traveling for pleasure for me really doesn't exist because I hate travel. I hate the physical getting on a plane.
Yeah.
The act of going to airports, waiting on lines, getting on a tube.
That does stuff.
No, I understand. But for me, the pleasure you get out of traveling, you know, getting somewhere, exploring and shit like that.
Yeah.
I've never found that interesting for whatever reason. Like, I don't mind learning about a place. That I have no problem with. But like someone who says like, hey, I spent 5 days hiking in the Adirondacks.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Give me a TV and a beer and I'm much happier. Show me a movie about the goddamn mountains. I'll be just as happy.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not suffering because of it, believe me, in my mind. I'm just not a person who likes to travel.
Yeah.
When we were younger, you and I would go on road trips with some buddies and we'd go, you know, local, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, Philly, Boston.
Yeah, but this is a little different. I've been to Iceland but
yeah, you're a world traveler.
There are things that you can see. Like even when I went to Germany a few years ago, I went to Dachau, which was the most frightening thing ever.
Oh, really? I thought you had a party there.
Well, it was a frightening surprise party.
Surprise, mein Herr.
Surprise, Germans.
I thought it'd be the other way around.
Surprise, Jews. Homosexuals, gypsies, socialists, painters, artists, writers, poets, Catholics.
Communists.
Orthodox. Anybody else who's
troublemakers. No matter who you are in the world, you would run like a 95% chance of just being someone they hated.
Well, if you weren't them, you were pretty much on the poop list. So that's...
Unbelievable. I think there were only 2 or 3 races that Hitler actually like said leave them alone. One was the Greeks
I think one was a horse race.
One was the Greeks. The other one that most people don't, you know, who Hitler was really afraid of, like during all his campaigns,
the Serbs and
the Yugoslavians.
The Yugoslavians.
Yeah. He fucking, you know what he called them? And it's probably the truth. What? He called them a race of thieves and assassins. And if you notice his march...
You're telling me that Adolf Hitler told the truth once? I don't believe
that. Did you notice that if you look at the historical battles, I know you're a history buff.
Yeah.
On his campaign to Russia, rather than go through Yugoslavia, he went around it.
Yeah, he went...
He just said, I don't want to deal with those fuckers.
Yeah, he went to like Greenland, and then he flew to China, like around. He went...
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Like, you're the head of the Blitzkrieg, and you decided that I'd rather not deal with those guys at all.
Yeah, just leave them over there in Macedonia.
And you're not talking about a huge number of people. It wasn't like they had a 5-million-man army or anything. They were just had the reputation of being, like, really rough cocksuckers, and he just didn't want to deal with them.
Yeah, they're like the Chechens.
Holy shit.
They're actually a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Because if they could give the Russians this much of a hard time, they're a pain in the ass.
Unbelievable. All right, Judo Larium, I think we have that impeccable timing coming up to almost an hour on
That's
the
beautiful.
Show.
That's beautiful.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we sign off? How's your asshole? Have you gone back to Dr. Jellyfinger? Wasn't your follow-up around now?
Yeah, no, I had to cancel it because of work. But after I get back from Hockeyville, I will most certainly go. And
you're going to grease up your hole and head out back?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
It's nice because he told me one thing is we took off a leather skin. I'd like to know if he kept it. Like, what do they do with it? They throw it out? I think to frame it and put it on the wall of my house.
Do you think your doctor has like a trophy case of just like spare asshole parts?
He could. Took it from this guy's ass. Took it from this woman's ass. This is a clitoris.
How did this get in here? Yeah. He throws it away.
Yeah,
how did this fucking clit get in here? I love the asshole. Can you imagine, like, he's got some sort of fetish where, like, the reason he became an ass doctor is because he just loves assholes.
He just loves it. Oh, no, what I told you. He put his fingers up my ass.
The sexual turn-on is, like,
he put
just
his fingers up my ass.
Finger your asshole.
I was like, I started laughing. I was like, oh, my God.
What drives someone to say, my whole life is going to be dedicated to the asshole? I want to serve the better purpose of the asshole.
Because it's for the greater good.
Yeah, because if your asshole is itchy, you know your day is just going wrong.
Right. Also, it's bad because depending on where you work, like, you can't really scratch it.
Oh, you can't scratch your asshole?
How are you going to do that when there's a million people
around? I'm glad I work in an office.
You can't scratch your ass. You can't adjust your cock because there are people looking. Between that and picking your nose, you can't do that either.
I just pictured you wearing your Secret Service outfit. You've got the dark glasses. So you've got the earpiece on. I'm just picturing it. And then surreptitiously tugging on your cock and balls to adjust them or scratching a niche that's deep in your asshole and you have to bury your finger where your underwear goes all the way up your asshole.
I got to tell you, sometimes, I don't know what it is, sometimes some of my older suits.
Yeah.
Don't fit quite as well as they used to.
A little tighter or something?
And they move the cock too much and the sack too much to the left.
Oh.
Like the zipper.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that part of it.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You have to move it over to balance it out, and it's very uncomfortable.
Oh, I've had those. We all have. Like, why? You just look down at your balls and say, how did I get male camel toe? Why is this fucking zipper splitting my nutsack right in the middle like
Camel
that?
Camel toe is the name of a great girl. Grand.
Is it?
Yeah. There's a movie called Serial Mom.
Oh, yeah?
That guy who did 16 Candles, John Waters or whatever.
No, John Hughes.
John Hughes. You got to see Serial Mom. It's hilarious. Okay. It's a true story about the crazy suburban woman who started killing
people. Look at it.
But there's a band in it called Camel toe.
Nice. Are they as good as Pussy Riot?
They're better.
Oh, better than
Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot,
their songs suck. I watched a documentary on it, and they just jumped on like top of a statue, and they went, oh, Putin Nefuka, a Putin Nefuka. I was like,
thank you, good night.
Yeah. They did the Elvis, like, we're out of the building. They were wearing, like wrestling masks, so nobody could see who they were.
And the best part was they'd sing their 30-second songs, and then you'd see them booking before the cops caught up.
Before the cops. You gotta love democracy.
But seriously, if anybody hasn't seen this, do yourself a favor. If you have HBO or you have access to it, check out the Pussy Riot documentary.
It's actually really
good. It's a great documentary. To Larry's point, when you hear us talk about the Pussy Riot, their music blows. And I'm a punk fan from way back. You know that.
Even if it were in English, it would stink.
Right. Like, in other words, I used to listen to the Sex Pistols, the Ramones, the Clash.
I was listening to Sex Pistols today, actually.
Right. The Damned,
The Dead Kennedys.
The Dead Kennedys, the Buzzcocks.
Flying Tigers.
Yeah, all of those guys. So I appreciate punk rock. Even for punk rock, these chicks suck.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
They're horrible.
But what they're doing, and what they try to do, is the true punk ethos, which is like, leave us alone. We're not hurting anyone. We're expressing ourselves. And government doesn't need to buddy up to the Orthodox Church in Russia and fucking run our lives.
Right.
And that's what you need. That's why. And for, oh, God damn it. I was going to end the show, but now I got to say this.
No, you got to end the show.
all these fucking people in this country who talk about, hey, man, you're encroaching on me. Let's have like a boycott or something, right? These fucking three broads, these 30-year-old broads, are all in fucking Siberian prisons right now for playing a song in a church.
Actually, two of them are in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Only one of them is like 29.
What I'm saying is they're young girls, basically. Yeah. Yeah. One of them's kind of hot, too.
Yeah, one of them's all right, and one of them already got released, though.
Yeah, because she apologized. She broke down and apologized,
basically.
But, you know, and then the way they keep themselves from getting arrested is at all times they wear their ski masks.
Right.
And you'll see them practicing in their basements with their ski masks on, you know.
And every song has something to do with Putin.
We hate Putin. We hate the church.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't even necessarily agree that this is the approach they should take with their lyrics, you know. But whatever, you know.
It doesn't matter. Whatever they're singing, it's
exactly.
Okay.
It's okay. It should be okay. So, you know, needless to say, we stand with the Pussy Riot. The White Riot stands with the Pussy Riot. Not that we're willing to do anything, Judelarium. I ain't getting arrested for
my
bitches in Russia.
I just stand with Pussy.
All right, beautiful. On that note, let's wind this up. You've been listening to The White Riot Show. Join us again next week. Until then, please come to twitter.com/White Riot Show. Also, facebook.com/White Riot Show. Listen to all the comments. Go on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm. Just search for The White Riot Show. You'll find us anywhere and everywhere quality podcasts can be found. For Judelarium, this is your host, Big Fat John.
Peace. Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judelarium. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. I've been drinking heavily. Wow.